Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It is 9:30 hours. Time that we have set aside.
How you gonna fix that? Oh my, with nowhere to turn. With weight, so much weight on your shoulders. Nobody can hold you.
Well, that's the first. We usually play the song after the intro, but the song came on first tonight. I couldn't even see where to cut it off. You know, things happen. And it was an appropriate song because part of the lesson is talking about the master plan of God that he has for all of our lives, that he formulated before the foundation of the world. The song just say, just hold on. Just hold on. God is not through with any of us yet. And it's Wednesday night, the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. A servant of God. And as always, it's a privilege and an honor, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to go before his people and his people to join in the body of Christ as we explore the word of God together. Timothy said, we must study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And Peter told us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. And this is a fellowship of believers exploring the word of God. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And I thank each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule to join in another Wednesday night. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you. And I pray to God for you individually in us as Words of Wisdom collectively. And at this time, Sister Pam is waiting to come before us in prayer as our intercessor, going to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, I turn it over to you.
Good evening, everybody. Heavenly Father, we thank you for affording us the opportunity to come together for our Bible study once again. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship. We thank you for continual blessing our Bible study and everybody that calls in every Wednesday night. We thank you for our sister in Christ, a prayer warrior, our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, we pray that you continue to bless her and to use her in ways that only you can. Lord, we pray that the word that's being brought forth on tonight will be a blessing to us all. We be so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor, and it's in Christ Jesus' name that I give thanks and amen.
Amen. As always, my sister, I have to say thank you. Thank you for
You're
your
welcome.
Faithfulness. Thank you for showing up, and thank you for growing in that grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
God
sister.
For you. I thank God for you as well. Well, the song has already been played. And I really could tell you, I can't tell you how. I couldn't cut it off. It didn't show anything. The song just came through the mic. And when it was finished, it went off. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. The song was about God's master plan. And some of the things tonight we're going to really realize that everything that God does is a part of his master plan that he formulated before the foundation of the world. Our lesson tonight is a question. And a question that I ask each and every one of you. Are you waiting for a miracle? And others may be looking for a miracle. We're going to expound on the word in the book of John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And I ask if you had time to read the whole chapter. So our intro, I'm going to talk about miracles. You know, we're going to talk about miracles a little while that we could get an understanding of the who, what, and whys of miracles. You see, a miracle is a supernatural event which has no human explanation. No human explanation. That's a miracle, y'all. More than that, a miracle is a supernatural event which suspends natural law as we know it. All right? In other words, natural law stops and is suspended while God acts. Hallelujah, y'all. And once his purpose has been achieved, he moves back out. And then the natural course continues. You see, miracles are supernatural events that God does to reveal and authenticate who he is. You know, you want to know why he used miracles. And I'm going to say this early in the lesson to let you know, Jesus, God, the disciples, the prophets, everybody wasn't healed back then. So that should give you an idea to let us look and understand the purpose and what God was doing. You see, miracles are supernatural events that God uses to show evidence of who he is, to authenticate who he is, and to reveal who he is. You see, from the Bible perspective, miracles are gracious and mighty works of God that display his unique power and dominion over all creation. So I'm going to give you an example, and I'm going to go from the beginning. You see, if we look at Genesis 1 and 1 and 2, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Now that was in the beginning. God created all things. It's telling us that. And that's a miracle. You see, when God performed this great miracle that authenticated that he was the creator and could make the invisible visible and make something where there was nothing. I want to tell you tonight that God is the only creator, and he created all things through Christ. Hallelujah. You see, no one could ever create anything. So y'all got to remember that, because it's important. No one could ever create anything but God. You see, let me tell you what happens. Man take things that was created by God, put them together, and invent something different. You see, God is the only creator, and man can invent things. You see, we must not get it twisted, because even that God gave them the ability to invent, they wouldn't be able to do it without his wisdom. You see, the greatest miracle of all miracles, I believe, is found in Matthew 1 and 18. And the scripture says, now that the birth of Jesus was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The miracle. A virgin becoming pregnant. A miracle. They made it very clear she was engaged to Joseph, but she knew him not. You see, this was a miracle of a virgin birth where God revealed his saving power because he loved his creation so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. And by this miracle, you see, all of God's miracles was with a purpose. The song that played early talked about the master plan. See, God has a master plan. And sometimes he have used miracles to work things out together in his master plan for his creation. You see, with him doing the immaculate birth, and sending his son is the greatest miracle of all. And when he did this, he was showing us that he would be our redeemer. You see, God always used miracles. And sometimes he used miracles to authenticate others. You see, he uses miracles in nature so extraordinary that he designed for his glory from the beginning of time to certify, come on y'all, certify those that have been commissioned by him. See, God don't send you and let you be stuck out. When God wants others to know who you are, you are. Now, he may not perform no miracle in this in your life, but you see, if God chose you to do whatever you're supposed to do, he will let others see it. Believe me. And when God was getting this all started and he wanted to authenticate the ones he sent so they could continue to do the work that he had given them, he allowed them to perform miracles orchestrated by him. You see, it was usually done for a particular group of people at a particular place in a particular time for a particular purpose. One thing you got to remember tonight, that God is a God of purpose, and he does everything for a reason. Everything in a given season. And it's all a part of his master plan. You see, God is in total control and does as he pleases. Usually, miracles happen, and once his purpose has been fulfilled, it ceases. These things are not put in the hands of everyone, but those who are handpicked by God. So be careful every time you click your TV, somebody is professing to do miracles before your eyes, healing the sick, you know, doing all of these miraculous things. And even, you know, they'll tell you if you give them so much, they guarantee you're going to get so much. And if that was the case, where would God be, y'all? Where would God be in that? So be careful. And an example of God using people, you see, when the Israelites was trapped by the Red Sea and the enemy was fast approaching, God used Moses. Hallelujah. Y'all know the story. And if we look in Exodus 14 and 16, God told Moses when the people start complaining and they thought they was doomed because the enemies was behind them and the sea was before them. But God told him, lift up your eyes, Exodus 14 and 16. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Verse 17, this is important. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians. They shall follow them, and I will get honor. See, God did this to get his honor. All of his creation was created to give him honor and glory. And look, this is God. He said, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and his horsemen. Once his purpose was achieved, the sea went back into its natural course, killing the enemy. God gave this to show the evidence of his power, his protection, that he can make a way out of no way for his children. And you see, God did this in a miracle, but remember, the miracle was authenticating. So if God was authenticating himself to them, he's authenticating himself to us. So when God did this, I'm going to say it once again, when God did this, he gave evidence of his power, of his protection, and how he can make a way out of no way. We could hold on to that, y'all. But we got to believe it to achieve it. And also the scriptures let us know that he want to get his glory and honor. He's got to get his glory and honor. He said if the man and women don't do it, he's going to have the rocks to cry up. You see, when God orchestrated mammon to fall from the sky to feed the Israelites on their journey in the wilderness, he showed that he was a provider. Come on, y'all. A daily provider. Can you hold on to it? You see, God's sovereignty extended over life and death as well. And his redemptive plan offers hope beyond mortality. There's a scripture in 1 Samuel 2:6, and it said, the Lord kill it and make it alive. He bring it down to the grave and bring it up. God uses miracles to prove that he has power over life and death. So when we're looking at this, we see the incidents and examples of the miracles and what God intended purpose for it was. You see, Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave after the time when he had no more hope. Y'all know Lazarus had been dead past the time when the Jews would think that they had a possibility of getting up. Lazarus was stinking in the grave. And Jesus planned it that way. God planned it that way. And that's why he had Jesus to go at that time. But I want you to know it was only temporal, because Lazarus died again. But I'm going to tell you about this glorious time. The third day after our Lord was crucified, God raised Jesus from the grave to never die again. Now that's a good news miracle. Hey, the greatest miracle of all time for all of us who believe to have a chance to the tree of life. Just as Jesus rose from the grave, we will resurrect into eternal life. Now that's a miracle. So again, I ask you, are you looking for a miracle? And if we go into the printed scriptures, John, the 9th chapter, I'm going to start at the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd verse. And I chose this. Well, let me read the scriptures first. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind? Jesus answered and said, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. Now watch this. This is the important part. Jesus said, this man nor his parents sinned. But look what he's telling them. The reason. And now it's the season with a purpose. God, before the foundation of the world, he, oh, hallelujah, y'all. But let me see. It says, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God would be manifested in him. Can you believe it, y'all? See, some things we just don't understand. But with that scripture, we know, come on, y'all, that certain things that God allows to happen, even in our lives, is for him to work things out together in his master plan. You see, I use this scripture to show why God do miracles. The scripture said that the work of God may be manifested in him. You know, God knew Jesus would be walking by and see the blind man from birth. The fact that this man was blind from birth brings us to believe that the created miracle would be needed here. You see, this man had not lost his sight from an accident, nor had he gradually, you know, his eyesight got worse. But he was blind in birth. You see, God allowed him to be born that way for a time like this. Come on, y'all. Y'all can put that under your seatbelt. We see people that's deformed, blind, crippled, and all these things from birth. God has a purpose and a plan for everything under the sun. And we see that this man was blind, and God did the miracle to authenticate that he was the Son of God. You see, God uses everything he created for his glory and allows us to know that he's truly a God of total purpose. There was a Jew, you know, in the Jews believed that all suffering and punishment was a result of sin. The Jews really believed that, and they still, some of them still believe it today. But how could a person have sinned before birth? The Jews consider human life to begin at conception. Thus, them asking a question like that, y'all, the disciples, thus, they thought one could fear, possibly sin even before birth. Foolishness. Really, this question showed a weakness of the disciples' understanding. It appeared from this question they asked Jesus that they believe all diseases is caused by sin. This is not just right. It's not true. You see, some diseases are caused by sin, don't get me wrong, but not all of them. Even today, people believe some trials, tribulation, and suffering are caused by sins on the person that is going through. Sometimes somebody might know something you did in your past and God has forgiven you, and you may go through a little tough patch. Oh, karma is something. They even have the audacity to say that's because she didn't treat her children right or whatever, whatever, whatever. Some people believe they caused their trials for past sins. I had plenty of people tell me that a lot of times. A lady might cheat on her husband with a man, and maybe leave her husband and go with the man. And now the man is cheating on her. Some of the women believe it's payback for what she did. You know, when they say that, it's as if God just sitting down waiting to give you payback, or he keeping score of your sins to to bring it back to your presence. While sin may cause suffering, as clearly indicated in Scripture, James 5 and 15 says, "And the prayers of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." I want you to remember tonight, sin is not always the cause necessarily for suffering, for trials, for setbacks, for heartaches and pain. You know, anytime you could go on a guilt trip, or your children put you on a guilt trip about something you could have did, should have did, didn't do, or maybe you wasn't working with what you know now to use the word of God in their life and instruct them better. And now, you know, they always say, "Well, my mom or my daddy and this and that and this and that." And you feel guilty because you believe that your past is causing your pain in your future. The Bible in Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation. We have to, when we know better, we should do better. You see, in this instance, Jesus made it clear that personal sins were not the reason for his blindness. And I could go even further than that. If you remember Job and how his friends wanted to know what sins he had committed. And I thank God that we have the completion of the book of Job. And we realize God was allowing Satan to attack Job because Satan had told God that he had no one that would just love him because of who he is, that people only love him for what he can do for them and what they have. Remember Job, and in the end we realize that it was only a test. If we look at verse 4 and 5, it says, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day." This is Jesus, y'all. "And night coming when no man can work." In verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." You see, Jesus was on a mission. He knew that his time on earth was limited. He must complete the mission, and as the opportunity arrives, that's how we got to be about our Father's business while we are here on earth. Then our living won't be in vain. We have to complete the mission as opportunities arise. You see, after we die, it's too late to go out and do things God called you to do while you was on earth. You see, the called of God are called to complete the mission on earth. The job God called you to do is for you to do. Remember that. We all designed to be kingdom builders. You see, even the miracle he was about to do was the work of his Father. He said, "I'm the light of the world," which means as long as I'm in the world, I'm going to light the world. You see, when he is no longer in the world, then believers, you and I, become the light. We become the ambassadors for Jesus. Come on, y'all. We are the light of the world. Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit is in us, flaming that light in us with instructions and directions. It says, "Allow your word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway." The light. You see, we got to become the light of the world. So we should all allow our light to so shine that men may see the good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus is letting us know he threw that in there for a reason. You see, and if we look at 6:7, the last two scriptures, when he had thus spoken, talking about Jesus, Jesus saw the man. The man was blind. The disciples was dealing in a little faith, and then Jesus took time and in verses between us to explain that who he was and who sent him to do what he had to do. And now he's fixing to do what he do. But he gave information so you could really see and understand what's going on. You see, in verse 6, he had thus spoken. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittles, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the word Siloam means to be sent. So it's like he sent them to the pool in Siloam. He went his way. Therefore, he washed and came seeing. That's a miracle that God was using to authenticate who his son was. Come on, y'all. A miracle. As he had done when he originally made humans out of the dust of the ground, talking about God, Jesus may have used the clay to fashion a new pair of eyes. Man, we were made out of clay. Use clay. This going and washing was an act of faith upon the man's part. Sometimes Jesus will say, your faith has made you whole. And many times I say when you read that in the scripture, it means something has taken place in the physical and the spiritual. He said, your faith has made you whole. Had this man not believed that he would be able to see when he washed, he would have not gone. He would have never gone to wash. Like, this ain't going to do me no good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This was an outward sign that he did believe. His faith shown by his action activated his healing. And I just want to stop here because this is some things I've been thinking about for a long time when we talk about that faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, this man was a beggar. He wasn't going to the synagogue and he wasn't being taught. Because if you read the whole chapter, you see when he was questioned, he said, that man they called Jesus. He didn't say, my Lord, Savior, and Master. But the Bible, when it says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, I come to tell you tonight that it's enough. It's enough. It's enough, y'all. The man on the cross. He was a sinner. But he got the faith. And I would imagine that's what's called the size of a mustard seed. And it was enough for him to leave with Jesus that day and be in paradise. You see, God's purpose was achieved. All that saw knew that there was something different about this man called Jesus as one sent by God. See, God's going to give you enough evidence. He's going to give you enough of everything that the truth is revealed. Now, if you accept it, you do, and if you don't. But they ain't going to say, God, if you'd explained it better. Come on now, we got 66 books. You see, even with them seeing, many tried to disqualify the miracle. Others found fault, how and when it was done. And in the rest of the chapter, you're going to see they got all upset because it was a Sunday on the Sabbath. And that was one of the things they wanted to add to his account for crucifying him. But God got the glory, and the blind man was healed physically and spiritually. Now we have the truth of Jesus and apostles recorded in the scriptures, which are the cornerstone and foundation of our faith, y'all. In this sense, miracles are no longer necessary, as the message of Jesus and his apostles has already been attested to and accurately recorded in scriptures, and most of them have been fulfilled. Like, stay with me now. Don't, you know, get on that, because it's going to get clearer. Are there miracles today? Yes, God still performs miracles. At the same time, we should not necessarily expect miracles to happen today as they did in Bible times. You see, in the Bible time, God dwelt among his people. Today he lives inside of his people by his spirit. You have the word and the gift of the Holy Ghost, watch this, which can do all things necessary by faith if you believe. You got a power making your own miracles, achieving what you want in a season and things like that for how God has equipped us. You see, the apostles never preached signs and wonders to attract a multitude who did not believe, nor theirs who had already believed. You see, signs, seeing a sign, and y'all, we know this is going to be so true, seeing a sign was never an assurance of belief of an individual. Never was. And y'all know that to be a fact. What was the purpose of the miracle? Signs and wonders performed by God, Jesus, and the prophets and apostles. It was to let us know who God is and what he could do, and let us know his power. The prophets and the apostles were sent by God to show that God was with them, and that the power of the Holy Ghost was upon them. Jesus performed countless miracles, yet the vast majority of people did not believe him. I got to tell you this tonight. Remember the Israelites. You see, if God performed miracles today, as he did in the past, the results would probably be the same. People would be amazed and even believe in God for a short time. I want to ask you this tonight. How many sinners have seen someone healed or someone showered with God's blessing? Someone down on their luck and now they got a brighter day. How many sinners have seen these things performed by God in people's lives? And yet they don't believe. Today, many people say if they would have seen the miracles back then, oh, I would be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, a teetotal sandal and everything else. But that's not true. Many people does recognize the hand of God working in their lives. They don't even recognize it. All of us have seen some miraculous things that God has done many times in our own life and at other times in the lives of people. Many people do not recognize the hand of God working in and through their lives because they're not looking. Their faith would be shallow and would disappear at the moment something unexpected or frightening occurred. Watch this. A faith based on miracles is not a mature faith. God performed the greatest miracle of all time, coming to earth as a man, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins so that we would be saved. Think about the wonderful miracle of a new life given to us by the death, burial, and resurrection. Watch this. And yet, some is still waiting for a miracle before they decide to get right or believe, as if that wasn't enough. God still performs miracles today. Many of them simply go unnoticed, and many are denied. However, we do not need more miracles. I'm going to say that again. We do not need more miracles. But you see, what we really need is to believe in the miracle of salvation, because in the end we win through Jesus Christ, and stop looking for a miracle, but put your faith totally in the miracle worker. So many people are looking for miracles and overlooking the miracle worker. You see, when you find a place to park in a mall, or you catch your baby if it fell at the right time, or you get a check, something at the last minute, sometime you may be going through and somebody called you at the right moment in time. You know, some people call these things miracles, but those are acts of providence where God is simply, listen to me good, y'all, orchestrating and allowing natural events, not suspending the natural, but controlling the natural so that it does what he wanted to do. How many times you stand up all boldly? God is working all things out together for my good. Well, I come to tell you tonight, that's by his providence. Providence is the way that God is directing the universe. He is moving it into tomorrow. He is moving it into the future by his providence. The word providence means to provide. God will provide. God is our provider. Providence also means that the hand of God is in the glove of human events. Come on, y'all, in the middle of everything that is going on, taking care of you going in and coming up. If God is not at the steering wheel, because he promised never to leave us nor forsake us, I come to tell you, he's in the back seat. He is the coach who called the signals from the bench. Come on, y'all. God is the pilot at the wheel during night watch. As someone has said, I heard one time, that he is a great door swinger, even doors on little hinges. And that's his providence. The hand of God, y'all. The hand of God. Certainly, we all need miraculous things in our lives at times. But do not be putting all your concentration on that occurring, because if you do, you're putting God in a box, and you're telling him, this is what I want, and this is how I want it, and this is how you got to do it. Remember, God has a way, he has a will, his timing is not ours, and he knows what's best. While we hear from the promoters of miracles today, Y'all know what I'm talking about. We should not limit God or try to hinder him. You know, when they say, and God's going to do this, and when I speak, I'm going to make you walk. Come on, y'all. Neither should we expect him to show his miraculous power every time we need it. We only be concerned with God when we want something, some people. And every time we do, they want to make our emergency become God's urgency. It's not the way it works, y'all. Some only look for a miracle and don't trust a miracle worker. They look for what he can do and not trust who he is. You see, the church was never taught to expect miracles to come to deliver them for whatever they needed. We are taught to trust God by faith. If people trusted God by faith, many things in the church would be manifested. But you see, you know, they're going to do the building fund, and they're going to do the $100 march, and they're going to do this. And many times, it don't achieve what they're trying to do. But if we look at God, the author and the finisher of our faith, trust him, saying, we believe that he knows what to do, and wait on him. We are taught to trust God with faith, knowing that he is willing and able to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Some churches, they so much, I believe, they forgot that the word, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwell in it. They act like they got a God that can't do nothing, and God owns everything. You see, scripture and history prove that signs and wonders does not instill faith, but just the opposite. Come on now. Lack of faith promotes one desire to see fine signs and wonders. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. God is still in the miracle business only and when he pleases, because he's God all by himself. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture here. I had another one, but I don't want to run over time. Well, I could do it real quick, I think, in 2 minutes. You remember the lesson where the beggar was begging, and they had the rich man, and they died, and Abraham was on one side, and the poor man was on the other side, and the rich man wanted Abraham to let the beggar dip his finger in the water. Then, you know, Abraham said, there's no intertwining with life and death and with saved and unsaved. He asked them, because he was being tormented in hell, y'all. He asked would Abraham allow the beggar to go back and warn his brother. And Abraham told him, he said, God sent the prophets, signs, wonders, and miracles. If they didn't believe all that, what make you think they're going to believe a dead man? A poor dead man that rose from the dead. And it was so true, but watch this. He don't believe, but he want to try to help them get saved. But everything that God had done, he seen too. He saw the signs and wonders, and he had this and that. But yet, he ended up in hell. It didn't change him. And John 20 and 19 said, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We didn't see Jesus, God, perform the miracles in the Old Testament, but we believe. because we believe God. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Sister Diane McBride, your button has been on. I don't know if you wanted to speak, but if you do, you can now. If not, I'll just close your mic.
No, I just want to tell you thank you for your service, and I love you very much.
Thank
and
you
I,
for the
I enjoyed a group, too.
Thank you so much, Sister Diane McBride. I love you, too, and you know it.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
Anyone want to share a miracle that happened in their life or that it happened in the lives of one of their loved ones? You know, God was proving who he was because he was going to send his son, and he wanted to give enough evidence for people to believe who he was, the Son of God. God wanted people to know that he had all power in his hand and he could do anything but fail. God wanted them to know that he was the creator of the world. And God wanted them to see his sovereignty, that he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And that he was omniscient. He knew all things. He was omnipresent everywhere at the same time. And he was omnipotent, all power in his hands. Anyone has anything they would like to say at this time? You could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Minister Mackey had been having trouble with her phone with the one. I just opened your mic, Sister Mackey, just in case you was having trouble. If not, I'll go ahead and close it. Well, Sister Pam, I turn everything over to you. Thank you guys for coming. Your mic is open now, babe.
Okay, thank you. Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 4. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. And until we meet again, amen and good night.
Good night, everybody. Remember, God can do anything but fail. And yet God still do miracles. And we understand why he did them. And what was the purpose and the reason? Hallelujah. So that's our lesson for tonight. Oh, I got to tell you guys, next week I won't be on the program. I'm going out of town Saturday, and I won't get back to Thursday. So we won't have the lesson next week, but we'll resume the week after that. And before I leave, I'll try to send a little notice to you guys. But because Sunday is my birthday. Hallelujah, y'all. Sunday is my birthday. And I thank God because I was waiting for the 3 scores and 10. And now I'm making on Sunday, if God allows it, I'll be 71. He said 3 scores and 10 in mobile mic. So I just want everybody to be blessed till we meet again. Thanks to everybody. Have a good night.
Lisa was beaten to death by those blunt and sharp weapons. The same day, deputies say Causeway Bridge cameras caught David Hernandez holding over and throwing two items from his car. The San Francisco Sheriff's Office says the Jefferson Parish dive team recovered one of the items last week, which investigators believe is one of the murder weapons. Lisa Hernandez's obituary says she leaves three daughters and a sister. Chief Jim Travis says as far as the sheriff's office knows, Lisa Hernandez never reported to the deputy.
But we create models every day to try to protect these victims and victims with the best cops. So if that victim does not come forward and cannot ask for this from the court, then, you know, I have to find something.
David Hernandez was called to the Tampa Ocean Cannon substation and arrested Monday. He was booked into jail on one count of second-degree murder and one count of obstruction of justice.
Seven terrorists, Arnold Murray Myers, now have two rules and a longer route to the end of the terrorist town goal. The land is super unbrave, but not on fast to engage their longer, more conditional route. So I have a question of veterans that public alarms and ending at veterans and Martin Vernon. The ride from the railing is shorter than 4 feet will also be required to wear a harness. A crew of Arctic riders fell off of a float in 6 years for it. The float centers will check with the riders when they get on a float to make sure that they're trapped. Honestly, ultimately, because, you know, bring them off the water, but can't necessarily make a trip, we give you the tools to keep yourself safe. You don't want the harness on, you know, if they come to first, let's shoot at them. The ordinance also requires students to report their finances to the parents. This year, at least two students canceled their grades last minute for the finances.
Israel launches a round of air strikes in Rockwell with millions out of Israel with planes to go to the captions of Shabbat and fighting heavily populated neighborhoods. Israel is looking to also carry out a series of air strikes as well as targets in southern Lebanon. The attacks are in